So what we have in the readings today that I think are important just to hold up for a few moments, it's probably not the burden of the gospel, but it is something to think about, is the two ways in which the early church came to understand that gift of God's Holy Spirit living and dwelling in us. So we had that privileged time when Jesus Christ was among us. He gave us his body and he gave us his blood, so that remains with us. But he said, I will not leave you as an orphan. I will bring to you a Holy Spirit that will guide and direct and lead you and be with you all the days of your life. So the Acts of the Apostles are Luke's gospel. Luke wrote the Acts as well as the gospel according to St. Luke. And his reflection is more the notion that this Spirit comes to us in a very clear and orderly fashion. The Jews first took the word of Jesus and tried their best to live it. 125 people, just a very small little community. But then they saw, after Pentecost, that they had a need to go out and to bring that gospel to others. But the initial reflection was that it was to be given to the Jew. That this Christ was a Jew for the Jew, and that he was the Messiah to the Jew. And so they began to then preach and teach in the synagogues, not just in Jerusalem, but literally began to kind of spin out ever so gradually. And they went even to Samaria. So in the gospel today, the disciples are in the enemy territory. Samaritans were Jews, but they were Jews who intermarried. They were Jews who were not the pure Jewish strain. They were Jews who became the enemy of the Jews who were the observance of the 613 Mosaic laws. They didn't do that, but they were Jews. And so the early church began to move outside the comfort zone of those people that they knew in synagogues and began to go then to the Jews outside of that in Samaria. And then they even began to preach beyond that. But there rose a controversy right in the early church. Is it enough to preach just to our brothers and sisters? And so the question came up when Peter literally brought Cornelius, a Roman, into the church, a Gentile, someone who was separated in distance. Was that the legitimate thing to do? So there was this gradual growing of an estimation that they were to preach not just to Jews and not just to the diaspora of the Jews, but literally now to the Gentiles. That's the growth of the church. And that's how Acts describes it, through the aegis and through the authority of the first disciples of Jesus. Paul, on the other hand, is encouraging that to take place. He becomes the great disciple of the Gentile. The gospel today is different. The gospel says, we don't need all this other stuff. We don't need to be listening to the disciples. When love is present in life, when people care for each other, when people love each other, when people live in harmony, the Holy Spirit is there. So it's a much freer, much more dynamic approach to our Lord Jesus Christ and his message to all people. But however it was determined, because it was probably a messy deal in the early church, it doesn't sound too messy because the scriptures are written some 30 years after all this took place, and they probably just gleaned, you know, what happened. But there had to have been a lot of fights, a lot of quarrelsomeness. Probably the same kind of quarrelsomeness that surrounds Pope Francis now. I've got people online saying that he's an antichrist, you know, crazy stuff. But there it is. It's out there and people are fighting. quarreling. Should he do this and should he not do that? The criticism now is that he went to the Holy Land and he took a Jewish rabbi and a Muslim leader with him. Well, give me a break. He's going to a land of Jews and Muslims. Why wouldn't he take a Jew and a Muslim with him? I mean, it sounds, makes sense to me, but there's all kinds of quarrelsome spirit around that. Well, that was the early church. The church was fighting and quarreling and not understanding and knowing how was this to take place. So that's at the heart of the gospel today. Not so much the quarrelsomeness of it, but the reality of what was taking place. They were moving out of their comfort zone and bringing this person of Christ through the gift of the Holy Spirit. So here's the story. It was the custom in an African tribe that when a boy reached a certain age, his elders would send him out into the world beyond the village to bring back something of value to share with his tribe. In this rite of passage, boys would return with all kinds of treasures and wonders. Brilliant textiles, luminous gemstones, rare ivory carvings, beautiful tan leather, and pelts. One year, as the returning young travelers showed off their treasure to the elders, one of the young boys stood off to the side. He had brought back no trinket, no gift, no object. And so when it was his turn, the elders asked the boy, "What is the most valuable thing that you found on your journey?" The boy replied, "The thing of value I have discovered cannot be held in my hand." "Why not?" asked the elder. "Is it too big? Is it too delicate to hold?" "It can be big, or it can be small," the young man said. "It can be delicate, or it can be strong." "Well then, what is it?" asked the elder to this young man. "It's here," the boy said, putting his finger to the side of his head. "In our brains," he said. "You see, I found on my journey that the most valuable thing in the world is an idea, because you must believe in that idea and you must work very hard to bring it to life." And so I think that that's what we're celebrating on this sixth Sunday after Easter. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ came into this world. He came as a Savior for all people. He came with a simplicity of life. He came to teach us that no matter what we've done, what our circumstance, what our sin, what our addiction, what our struggle, it didn't matter. What mattered is that he came to heal and to save all of us for all time. And that was the idea that began to pervade all of the built-in structures, all of the narrow visions, all of the stuff that surrounded that early church as it does today. And somehow that strength of that idea pierced through the stubbornness of the human heart, and it became something for all of us. So my brothers and sisters, I think today is a good day for us to look at our own struggles, the things that we hold that are so dear to us that maybe prevent us from being more than you and I are or could ever think we could be. that inside each and every one of us is something very good, something very sacred, something that's holy and good in us. And if we are prevented from sharing that because of our laziness or because of fear or because of some struggle or difficulty in our lives that we will be found out, shame on us. We are given the gift of the Holy Spirit, my brothers and sisters. It's a gift for all of us for all time. And it's a gift that should give us courage. Courage to say and do the things that need to be said and done. It should give us an encouragement to be everything that God called us to be. And it should help us, especially in the daily struggles of our life. As I was beginning Mass today, Jane Mary Flaherty said to me that tomorrow is Father Ted Hesburgh's birthday. How old did you tell me he was tomorrow? 97 years of age. And Ted Hesburgh said to me more than one time, man that did so much for this nation, a man who took Catholic education and held it up as the ideal for all of us, a man who struggled against the rights of the oppressed and spoke out, much like Pope Francis, going now to the far corners of this earth, risking his life, shunning probably a lot of security that he needs, but wanting to touch people with a rabbi on one side and a Muslim on the other, bringing the message, the ideal, the person of our Savior. Ted said to me, and said to me often, whenever I needed something that was important to do, when I needed some encouragement, when I needed some light, he said, I always would say, ever before I got involved with it, come Holy Spirit. So my brothers and sisters, let's buck up. Let's try to do and to live our best. Let's do everything we can to live the great encounter that you and I have with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and be free of those things, fears and struggles and addictions and things that shackle us. I think that's the power of this great teaching on this day. I hope this is a wonderful weekend for you. Hope you get a little rest, a little recovery. And I hope that that Spirit is a mighty force in your life and in the lives of your families.